There's going to be an eclipse on April 8th, all across the United States. Is that spoken about in the Bible? What does that mean for us? On today's Prophecy Update version of the Bible Prophecy Show.
This show is dedicated to making Bible prophecy simple and equipping you with the knowledge of end time events. We want you to be ready for the soon return of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Bible Prophecy Show.
Thank you for joining us on the Bible Prophecy Show. My name is Brian Gogler. And with me today, as always, my co-host, Reverend Brian Smith.
Fabulous to be here.
Right now, we're simply doing the prophecy update version. So this is just going to be a few minutes. We like to stay current with current events. And Reverend, there is an event that seems like everybody's talking about right now. And it's coming up on April 8th, and it's an eclipse.
It's a big deal because everybody is talking about this, and I don't know of any prophecy radio show or, you know, program that hasn't mentioned this to some degree. Some are going nuts about it. Some are saying it's nothing. We want to figure out what we believe.
That's right. You know, I'm going to give what I understand to be facts, though I do want to dig a little deeper. I've heard a lot of individuals talk about it. I've seen it in different places, but the bottom line is on April 8th, 2024, which is really just a few weeks away, there is going to be an eclipse that's going to come all the way across the United States. So if you haven't heard about it, you will be. And the potential significance of that is it's crossing, as it goes across, there are many cities in the United States that it's going to go directly over top of, and they happen to have the same name in these cities. This is what it's claiming to be. Now, the truth of the matter is, I have not spent the time to check each one of these out. I have seen the path on the news reports, but there are seven cities named Nineveh. Nineveh, Texas, Nineveh, Missouri, Nineveh, Indiana. There's Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, New York. And then there's one, I think, in Canada, Nova Scotia. So there, the claims are that it's, you know, this is a sign from heaven, and this is similar to the warnings of repentance from Jonah's day. And there's just a whole lot like that about that. And what I want us to do is, I want to ask you directly, is there anything in the Bible, any verse particular that would really tie directly to this event?
It's a great question, and I don't see any Bible verse that directly connects this event with Scripture. There are Scriptures that say, in fact, I'll just read it, Luke 21:25 says, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." So there is some merit to us looking at the sun and the moon and the stars, because mm-hmm. he said that there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. But the people that I've heard that are talking about this eclipse have made the point that there have been like 12,000 eclipses in America from its inception. And so surely in that amount of time, you can find some devastating event that happened at some, you know, juncture of some eclipse. And I think a lot of people, this is just my personal opinion, I believe in all kinds of things. I believe in miracles. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe in all those kind of things. But I also know that people can over-sensationalize things. Hmm. And they can make things up. And they can make things out of nothing. And they can make big deals out of things that are not big deals. To the point, and here's the dangerous thing. Now, I'm not saying that nothing will happen on April 8th. I don't know. God has not spoken to my heart about it. I have no Bible verse that says in 2024 on our calendar, April 8th, this is going to happen. But if we overemphasize this event and okay. April 8th comes and goes and nothing happens,
I think you're going somewhere with this.
Then what it does is it basically destroys people's faith. You get them all built up that something's going to happen, and then nothing happens. And then they turn to you and say, you're a false prophet. They turn to the Bible and say, the Bible's wrong. They look at Jesus and say, Jesus lied. And really, you have not lied. You're not wrong. Jesus hasn't lied. The Word of God isn't wrong. You have over-sensationalized something that God never meant for you to utilize in that capacity. Some people want more views on their YouTube program. Some people want more places to preach, so they'll make things seem like there's this great urgency. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't get our life right with God, and there's
right.
that time is not short. There's an urgency. There definitely is, but not because of this eclipse, in my opinion, because there's been 12,000 eclipses in American history.
Well, you make a good point. We talk every single episode of the Bible Prophecy Show about be ready. In fact, it's one of the last yes. things I say every episode. So you and I have talked about this before. In a way, I'm glad that there is an event that would cause people, especially lost sheep, backsliders, to come back to the fold and say, you know what? It is time. I recognize all these things going on. I like that point. But you also follow up with by saying, yes, but if nothing happens per se, then where are you from there? And I want to remind everybody about Y2 chaos in 2000. January yes. 1st, 2000 was just... It was so similar to this, and that we really believe there was a lot of people that believed this was very significant to the second coming of Jesus. And so we wanted to make sure that we talk about it, and we all need to be ready. And what God has given me the understanding before we even start our program, and from the way I'm able to wrap my mind and my heart around the whole concept of Bible prophecy, is that I have to be ready no matter what. How yeah. many listeners out there know someone that believed with everything inside their heart that the second coming of Jesus was going to come in their lifetime, and those people have passed on, right?
That's true. We just did a episode on the United States of America in your Bible, and we learned there that the eagle's wings are going to be a nation, one of those nations in Daniel 7, that has to be in existence on the earth at the time of the second coming. I'm not saying that judgment can't hit America. It's hit us before. Remember the Great Depression? It's hit us before. The Roaring Twenties, when people were going wild and doing their own thing. Sure, God can judge. Sure, you know, terrible things can happen to a nation who is forgetting God and their roots. However, the nation itself's not going to be completely wiped out. We know that from Scripture alone, because the eagle's wings will be here and will be helping the nation of Israel all during the time of the Great Tribulation. So we know we're going to be here, A. B, I don't know how you feel about it, Brother Brian, but I would rather not be known as a prophet at all than to be known as a false prophet. And you make a great point. Remember the big hype about Y2K. And when it didn't happen, it was such a blow to people's faith. You know, and if here's the danger. If you hype up some of these things and then nothing happens, then you're giving ammunition for the crowd that Jesus already said was coming. He said in the last days there would come mockers and scoffers that would say, where is the promise of his coming? All things are as they always were since our fathers slept. In other words, nothing's changing. Life is going on. And why are they going to be mocking? Because he said in the last days, many false prophets would arise. And I remember when this last election, when Trump and Biden were fixing to be voted upon, and there were all kinds of Christian preachers getting up and saying, God's told me that Trump's going to be president and all this stuff. And when he didn't win.
I do remember that now that you say that.
There was a lot of people's faith that was shaken in these men of God who thought that. And so you know what they said? Well, you know, maybe God was saying his next term, you know, maybe next go around he's going to win. And I'm not saying that Trump won't win and that can't happen. I'm saying that can happen. But they were specifically saying that he was going to win that election and God had told them, many of them. And now they're trying to find a way to backtrack out of that. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing is what the Word of God, in the last days, there's going to come many false prophets that would arise and would lead many astray. And so my point is, yes, something could happen on April 8th, but if it doesn't, and you've over-sensationalized this, you don't have to sensationalize this because there's no Bible verse that says you have to sensationalize this particular eclipse. Now, let me tell you what you do have to sensationalize.
What's that?
He did say there would be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. He said that. But he also told us when that was going to happen. So we don't have to sit here and guess. You know, we understand that this final 7 years begins with the signing of a peace treaty with Israel and many other nations.
Right.
The Antichrist will be one of those signers. In the middle of that final 7 years, he's going to cause the sacrifice on the temple to stop. That's when he begins his reign of terror. The Antichrist reigns for that latter 3.5 years of the final 7 years. When the peace treaty is signed, you've got 7 years to the Battle of Armageddon and the return of Jesus Christ. Okay, now let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse number 29, because this is the words of Jesus. I suppose you believe that Jesus tells the truth.
He is the truth.
He is the truth. And in verse 29, Jesus is talking. He's talking about this time of the Great Tribulation. It's just ended. The Great Tribulation is now over. The final bit of that 7 years is done. Verse 29, Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven unto the other. He said very plainly, there's going to be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. But you know what? The stars are out every single night. The sun is up every single day. We see the moon many days during this month. And from time to time, they match together. And from time to time, there could be something to some of these judgments. But it's not the big thing. The big thing is his return. The big thing is the rapture. The big thing is making sure you're ready to meet Jesus, because he's coming to this earth to establish his kingdom on earth. And if you over-sensationalize events that are not very important, then when it comes to you sounding the alarm for this event that is important, people are going to look back at those events that you were wrong on. There were nothing major happened, and you were telling the whole world, we need to panic. We need to, you know, that something's fixing to happen big, and nothing did. They're going to point back at that and say, yeah, we've heard this before. Over and over again, you've told us. And now here we go again. All things are as it always was. Nothing's going to happen this time. And really, you've given them the ammunition to fire at you. But if you let the word of God do its work, there's things we don't have to over-sensationalize. We know that there is fixing to come a war where a third of this world is going to die. That's a huge thing. It's not a guess. It's not maybe there's a judgment day. Now, we're not told when it is going to happen.
Right.
It's plain in Scripture. God says it's already set on my calendar for a certain year, month, day, and hour for to slay the third part of man. God's already got it on his calendar. In other words, God's not confused about it. He's not waiting around to see if we repent, and I don't know when it's scheduled. No, I know when it's going to happen, the Lord said. I'm just not telling you that. I already know all things. I know the end from the beginning. I call things that are not as though they were. I am the author and finisher of your faith. I'm already in your tomorrows. If he knows when the Battle of Armageddon is going to happen and what nations are going to be involved in it, he probably knows when the war that's going to happen before Armageddon, the sixth trumpet war, is going to happen.
Right.
Okay, so if he knows all that and he didn't tell you that, there's a reason. So the disciples, they wanted to know some of these things. Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom unto Israel? Is it now time for you to establish your kingdom on the earth? It wasn't time. He didn't have the heart to tell them it's going to be about 2,000 years. So he just said, you know, it's not for you to know. Go play, you know. But, and I'm paraphrasing. But if he wants us to know, he will make it very clear. And there is a timing where he says, I want you to pay real specific attention to the sun and the moon and the stars. He tells us when. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. And that was speaking of the Great Tribulation, by the way. Immediately after the tribulation. And in another scripture, he said, when you see all these things happen, in Matthew 24, when you see all these things, then look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Some people are looking up, but not all the things that have happened. They're not doing right. what Jesus said. He said, when you see all these things happen, then look up. Well, so from now until the time where all these things happen, I don't have to go out and stargaze every night and break my neck looking up, because I'm going to be looking up in the heavens for a long time. And that's not doubt. I know he's coming back. I totally believe it. I'm looking for his glorious appearing. I'm not going to miss it. But I'm also not a children of the darkness. I'm children of the day. And that day is not going to overtake us as a thief. We're going to have some clues. And here's the main clue. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the mm-hmm. sun's going to, that's when we're going to have to look up.
You know, I'm glad you laid it out that way. You know, at no point in time are we saying that this eclipse is going to be, not only are we not saying that it's this catastrophic event necessarily, but what we're saying is, you know, not to over sensationalize it. Yes. And I want to speak to all the listeners. If you do have someone in your family that is backslidden or lost sheep or has been wanting to come to the Lord or whatever, you certainly can use this saying, you know, again, don't oversell this whole concept saying, listen, you know, we don't know what's going to happen on that day. But what we do know is the Lord is coming back and we do need to be ready, but we're not sure when it is. And if it's that day or if it's a year from them or if it's 7 years away, it doesn't matter, because none of us are guaranteed any time on this earth. So many of us have someone in our life that we all knew that left this earth by the way of grave way sooner than they ever thought they would be. One day was just like any other day, and the next day we get the call that they're no longer on this earth, which is so hurtful to us. It's so hard to deal with. But we recognize that we have to be ready, whether it's April 8, 2024 or in 2034. It doesn't matter, because we're not guaranteed any time on this earth. And I've had friends almost every year now for the last few years, young, I think they've most all been men that have died unexpectedly, weren't even, you know, weren't old, weren't retired age. How's that sound? They yeah. weren't even retired age yet. And so we want to make sure that we address this, and perhaps we could touch on it maybe again as it gets closer, as more information comes or we get more feedback. But it's okay to use this as a tool, but keep it in perspective that this is, there's many things that we know directly from the scripture that will occur that we know. And yeah. so thank you so much for laying that out.
I rejoice if this brings anybody to the Lord.
Amen.
The problem is, if you win people out of fear, sometimes you don't keep them. There is a scripture that says, some save with fear.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. But it didn't say save all of them that way. Only a few of them are going to be saved that way. Because a lot of times, if your relationship is built on fear and not love, it's not going to last. A lot of times.
Well said.
I serve the Lord not because I'm afraid that he's going to send me to hell. I'm afraid of hell, make no doubt about it. But that's not why I serve the Lord. I serve the Lord because I'm in love with right. the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for me. He didn't have to do that. He didn't owe me a thing. He paid a debt he did not owe, and I owed a debt I could not pay. And so I am in love with Jesus Christ. That's just Amen. The way it is. But if I served him out of fear, that relationship's not going to last very long. I don't want my wife to love me. Because if she doesn't, I'm going to beat her on top of the head like a caveman, Neanderthal, you know, bang her on the head and drag her back to my cave. That's not the kind of wife I want. And the Lord Jesus doesn't want us to serve him because we're afraid of him. He wants us to serve him because he loves us and we love him. It's a thing called relationship.
That's great. I kind of thought a little bit of the analogy about a marriage. You know, I love being married to my wife. But it's not a situation where I would ever say or think, I don't want her to leave. I want to stay married because I don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to stay married because I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be by myself.
Yeah.
Well, that's not how marriages work. I stay with her because I love her and she loves me and this is a good thing, which is going to be 24 years this fall. We've been married, so yeah. excited about that. But thank you so much. Did you have anything else you wanted to mention?
I
did,
because, you know, I want to just bring out a few things that people, I think, are using totally to over-sensationalize this. Here's the reason why. Again, if this brings anybody to Christ, wonderful. Awesome. Use it, wonderful. But the thing is, they're taking things and making things out of...
Non-biblical.
Non-biblical, and really a stretch to even consider. I mean... I've heard people saying, well, you know, we had this eclipse back in 2017, and right after that eclipse, we had COVID-19. No, we didn't right after. COVID-19 was in 19, year 2019. That's 2 years after 2017. So an eclipse happens in 2017, and somehow or another, you're going to equate
that to 3 years later. It was really 2020.
Oh, is it 2020? Three years later? Yeah, so if you're going to use that as your metric, okay, you can say anything in the world. You can say, yeah, this April 8th, this is a terrible thing. Yep. And then 3 years later, something terrible happens, and you say, see, I told you back on April 8th, I told you.
Yeah, well, you don't do that.
There's going to be some major event on planet Earth somewhere between April 8th and 3 years later. Yeah. So here's my thing. You can over sensationalize these things to the point where if somebody debates you about it and tries to make it basically prove that it's not a big deal, they're going to eat your lunch. They're going to prove how silly some of these things sound. Let me just give you one example that
please do, because there's a lot going on the internet, social media, everywhere. You got an example for us today.
I mean, it goes back to people trying to find out who the Antichrist is. Count the number of the beast. You know, here's how you do it. You add up all the alphabet numbers, and then you subtract this, and you go to the counter, and you do three flips, and then you after that, you jump over this hurdle, and then you, I mean, it's like this maze. You're thinking, how in the world did anybody get that out of number the name of the beast? And so, for example, like somebody said, well, there's one more interesting fact. 2,422 days are in between the eclipse of 2017 and the eclipse of 2024. And then, so, because if you take those days, 2,422 days, if you take that number and you go to the Strong's Concordance, I'm not making this up. This is what I'm reading.
This is true. I've seen this circulate throughout the internet right now.
Yeah.
To social media.
Yeah. You go to Strong's Concordance to number 2422, and in there it gives you a Bible verse. It links you to this Bible verse that says something about Pharaoh. I mean, really, the verse says, the midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive. And so then they take that verse and try to make something spiritual out of it. But just think about this for a second. Nothing major happened on that 2017 eclipse that you can really point to as far as COVID or anything. But anyway, for whatever reason, we're taking this 2017 eclipse, and then we're going to 2024 eclipse. And then for some reason, we're adding up the amount of days. There's no Bible verse that says add the days and that would be significant. But we take that number, 2,422. And then where do we go with that? I mean, why do you go to Strong's? Why didn't you go to Webster's Dictionary and pick out the word that is the 2,422nd word? I mean, who told you to go to the Strong's Concordance and pick out a number counting those days? You know? And so it's all this random stuff. You can make the Bible say anything you want to.
And that's why there's so many religions, Christian religions. That's why right there.
There's one verse that said, Judas went out and hung himself. There's another verse that says, totally different passage, and it says, go do thou likewise. So if I add those together, I have a new doctrine that says it's okay to kill myself. He went and killed himself. Go do thou likewise. You can make the Bible say whatever you want to say.
Oh, that's a good point.
But you've got to take it in the context of what it said, to whom it was said. What is Jesus trying to say? And let me just tell you, he's not trying to say, go panic and look up at the stars and stargaze and try to find everything on the internet that you can that seems mysterious and then make some big deal about it. Because if nothing happens on that day, and I'm not saying nothing will, but if nothing happens on that day, there will be a lot of people that are called false prophets, that are called over-sensationalizing things, that are giving ammunition to the scoffers and the mockers of the last day, that really do need to hear this message to look up at the sun and the moon and the stars, but at a specific time. And that timing is when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 33, so likewise, when ye shall see all these things, not half of these things in Matthew 24, when you see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. So we know when it's time. Open up the book, read it. When you see those things come to pass, you know, hey, it's time to look up.
Wow. Thank you so much. Well, that's going to be it for today's update. We're so glad that you listened, and we'll have we might address it again. I'm guessing we will as we get closer. If more information comes out, if we want to talk about it, go on BibleProphecyShow.com. Ask us whatever questions you have. And remember, as I say at the end of every show, the most important thing is we need to be ready. Until next time, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come.
Thank you for joining us on the Bible Prophecy Show. Tune in next week for another exciting episode. or visit us online at BibleProphecyShow.com, where you can listen to all of our podcast shows, enjoy our blog, and learn how to be born again to make heaven your home.